Looking forward to hearing from you this morning on the Saturday show. Sally Pepper with you through till midday. The kind of theme to the show this week is conspiracy theories. We all like a good conspiracy theory, whether we believe it or not. It's a great talking point down the pub, if nothing more, isn't it? So if you want to get in touch, a conspiracy theory that you've heard of, maybe you believe in, maybe you've done research yourself, maybe it's just one you heard and thought, oh, what a load of rubbish. Whatever it is, we've all heard them. We've all heard about them. Do give me a call. 01332 Derby 616161. There are loads to go on as well. I mean, still ones keep creeping up. I've never heard that one before. 07786210045 is the text number this morning. Now, my first guest on the show this morning is Andrew Johnson. He's got a website, which if you're online now and you want to have a look at it yourself, is www.checktheevidence.co.uk. Andrew lives in Borough Wash and joins us this morning. Andrew, thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me to come on the programme.
Well, it's a fascinating subject. Whether you're a believer or not, it is such an interesting subject. And when you kind of, I mean, obviously the likes of myself and probably most people listening, you know, you might just read a little bit off the internet, or you might hear someone say something and give you a couple of bits of evidence and, oh, yeah, that sounds quite plausible. And that's about as far as you go. You obviously make almost a career out of it, really, don't you? Getting the evidence, trying to piece it together to prove or maybe disprove that a conspiracy theory. How did it all begin kind of for you? Tell us about you, first of all, in a nutshell.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things which is useful in this is an open mind. And an open mind, some people say, oh, I'm open-minded, and what they really mean is they're very sceptical.
Okay.
And they have a fixed mindset, which is not an open mind. But I've always had an interest in this type of thing, the paranormal. Mainly the paranormal it started off with. I had a sighting of a UFO when I was 10 years old.
Really?
With my friend. Yeah, we saw some acrobatic stars in the sky. Somebody brought me a book on sort of UFOs when I was about 9 or 10. And, you know, I've always read bits and pieces since that
And are you
time.
Sure? You still believe that was a UFO?
You can't find
any reason
you know,
it wouldn't
be? I mean, I studied astronomy quite a bit. I used to go to an astronomy club.
Right.
You know, I photographed the moon through a telescope and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I've given talks on the sun, what makes the sun work and that sort of thing. So, you know, I've tried to study these things. My background, for example, I went to university and did a degree in computer science and physics. So, you know, when you're doing computer science, it's a totally logical, rational subject. If you want to work with a computer, you have to do it logically. So you have to collect information, process it, you know, and come out with some results.
Sure.
And that's the approach that I try to take to with all this.
Uh-huh.
In terms of sort of how the website came into being, it really, that part of the story probably started about 4 years ago now. And one of the big changes, of course, in the last few years is that we've had the broadband revolution. And now you've got access to vast quantities of information on the internet.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people, you know, find it quite overwhelming. They think, well, what is the good information? What is the bad? You know, and like the story you told about Paul McCartney, I mean, we can easily verify that that's false because, you know, he was interviewed on the radio a couple of weeks ago, you know.
We've all seen him.
Yeah, you know.
They say he's an imposter, don't they?
Some have said that. I've heard that one too. If you go on the cover of Sergeant Pepper, there's somebody's holding their hand
above
his head or something, and that was in some ancient Indian culture, it means that they're dead or something, you know. And you get really strange things like this, but I think, you know, what you've got to try and do is go back to the original source of the information as much as possible.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the things, if you want to get into this, you have to have what's called a grey basket. So you can say, well, this has got a lot of good evidence to support this conclusion. That one I'll put in my grey basket because it looks promising, but I haven't been able to corroborate the information. You know, so it's
almost setting it to one side to kind of try and verify it at a later date.
Yeah, but the problem as I see it with this whole arena is that you have this term conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
And that is often treated, oh, you know, he's a Nottingham County, Notts County fan. It's something that's used to ridicule people.
Yes.
And again, this idea of a theory, a lot of people don't distinguish between what is theory and what is evidence, what is fact, etc.
Right.
So you have to establish what are the facts. You know, if I give you a fact, I can give you a fact, for example, that Gordon Cooper, this is on my homepage and my website, mm-hmm. this is a fact. Mm-hmm. Gordon Cooper mm-hmm. filmed an object landing at Edwards Air Force Base, landing on three legs in 1955. That is a fact, and you can see that in a video clip. Okay? on the website.
It's not a doctored video clip?
No, you don't see the video, but you see Gordon Cooper saying he filmed this object landing in 1955 at Edwards Air Force Base on three legs. This is a Mercury astronaut. He orbited the Earth 22 times. That is not a conspiracy theory. That is a fact that he reports that. Now, you then go on, well, is he making that story up?
Yeah, exactly. You could say that he could easily say that, but it's not true.
This is Gordon Cooper. Mm. This is a Mercury astronaut. Mm. Not only that, he had other experiences when he was a pilot, which he talks about.
Right.
And then, for example, this came out of the Disclosure Project, which is how I got involved with this, when I'm going back to the time when I first found the Disclosure Project on the internet. That's when I came across Gordon Cooper's mm-hmm. testimony. And one of the other testimonies in the Disclosure Project is Captain Sellers. He was a former Minuteman missile commander.
Right.
And he recounts this experience that he had, I think it was 1967, in Montana. And he was in charge of a group of 20 missiles. And he got a call from the top side of the base. And it was a chap saying, "Sir, there's an object, a glowing object hovering over the base." And Captain Sellers said, "Oh, come on, you know, this is just nuts." Yeah, and he just went, "OK, put the phone down." And then a few minutes later, the chap called back again and said, "Sir, the object is still here. It's still hovering." And then just as he was taking the phone call, the missiles, 18 out of the 20 of them, went into a no-go condition. They went into a no-go condition. They became unlaunchable.
Gosh.
And he's got the documentation to back this up. He's got other witnesses. He's got the faxes which say that a UFO was over the base at the time he said it was.
Yeah.
So that's not a conspiracy theory. He's got documentation. It's in the military. It's not just somebody who's walking around in the street. He's got the documentation to back up what he says is true, and he's had to request that through Freedom of Information. So when you've got documentary evidence such as that, and there's now 450 of witnesses in the Disclosure Project who have got, you know, varying types of material like this, but Dr. Stephen Greer, for example, who put this together, he sort of set certain standards, and if he couldn't corroborate the information to a certain standard, he threw it out.
Right.
And if you go and look at the body of information that's in the Disclosure Project, for example, it's of a very, very high standard.
Okay.
And you cannot ignore it. Once you've seen it, and once I'd, you know, got familiar with it, I could not ignore it. And I knew that there was basically stuff going on. There was no doubt about it. And that it was once I really found that out, that's what kind of set me on the road.
Obviously, what you're talking about at the moment, that there's a lot of facts, and as you said, it's not a conspiracy theory, it's a fact.
No.
I tell you what we're going to do, we'll take the latest travel news, then we'll come back and we'll... Because it's quite a grey area, I guess. What is a conspiracy theory? So we'll talk a bit more about that, and then talk about some of the conspiracy theories that obviously you discuss on your website. Let's get the latest travel now, then, at BBC Radio Derby. It's fast approaching 9:30, then, on your Saturday morning. Sally Pepper with you through till midday, and we are talking conspiracy theories this morning. That's the kind of theme of the show today. Our first guest on the show is Andrew Johnson. And Andrew, am I to talk about you as a conspiracy theorist for the purposes of this interview, then? Would you describe yourself as that?
No, I wouldn't describe myself as that at all, because that's the pigeonhole that you get put into.
Yeah.
That label has really been created, I think, to discourage people from looking at what is evidence.
Okay.
That's why I didn't call it check the conspiracy. I didn't call it, check the conspiracy theory or check the theory. I call it check the evidence.
Okay.
And if you look at the way that two of, our main processes in society work, the law and science, gather evidence, you analyse it, and you draw a conclusion. And that's the only way you're going to make sense of UFOs or, what happened with 9/11. You gather the evidence, you analyse it, you interview people if possible, you cross-reference information, and you draw a conclusion.
Mm.
And that is the process by which the rest of our society is essentially run. And you can't just say, you can't just do a scientific experiment and say, "Oh, this will work, and here's the result."
Mm.
You have to get the evidence, perform an experiment, tabulate the results, and then come out with a conclusion. Now,
so you're really a conspiracy detective, then, I guess.
Yeah, it's detective work, I think.
Yeah.
If you want to make sense of it, and you have to try and remain neutral. A lot of people fall into the trap of saying, I get quite a few pictures of very blurry objects in the sky and say, "Oh, look, it's a UFO." But you cannot conclude that because there's not enough information in the picture. It's just a streak, so you end up calling it a blurfo. You know, because that's all you can see. Guy may have, you know, you can say, oh, I saw an alien come out of it. Well, I'm sorry, but where's your evidence? Yes. Have you got witness? Have you got a recording?
Can't go and say so, obviously.
Yeah. And these days now, it's quite a lot easier to get some good evidence because we've got many more video cameras around. To give you another example with the UFO thing, there's a film on Google Video by Jaime Massan, who's, I suppose, he's the, I think he's... it's a Brazilian equivalent of somebody like, I don't know, John Simpson, somebody like that. And he's got this video, which is a collection of videos from around Mexico, Guadalajara, for example, where he's got this video. And he's got about 1,000 objects in the sky flying in formation. And you can see this on Google Video. It's not balloons. These things are flying in formation. This is the most amazing video I've ever seen. You know, you've got hundreds of objects in the sky at one time, another one where you've got thousands of objects.
So those sceptics, you know, what are they saying it would be? You're obviously saying it's got to be UFOs, but what are the sceptics saying?
Well, the sceptics would obviously say that it's a collection of balloons, or they'll come up, it's a flock of birds. But these explanations just don't account for the evidence. And that's the point that you end up with. And you do quite quickly reach...
Are they birds carrying lights?
Yeah, it's something like that, yeah. You know, or they'll say that it's two flocks of birds merging together and it's a special angle that the sun is shining.
Okay, right.
You know, you get all kinds of arguments. And I quickly get to the point with some people, well, you know, here's the evidence, and they still don't believe it, and you just say, well, okay, that's fine. You know, if you don't regard this as, you know, high enough standard of evidence, then I haven't got any more to give you, so we'll just agree to disagree.
It must be, I mean, obviously you're fascinated by the whole thing of conspiracy theories and obviously doing the detective work and everything. That's what you enjoy doing, and that's what obviously you're good at doing. But it must be a very frustrating thing for you as well. I mean, obviously, 9/11, there's so much evidence. We could be here all week discussing
Absolutely,
all the evidence
yes.
that's come up. And, of course, we can't do that. But we've all read books, we've read articles. I mean, obviously, you've written articles yourself. In fact, you've just given me this one, which is an Open University one for staff and students, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, yes.
That's been published on 9/11, and obviously your findings.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite a gentle article, actually. You could have been a lot harsher, I suppose, with the way you put it. But obviously, the way you kind of talk about it is, you can draw your own conclusions, but these are the facts. Now decide,
do you
believe what you read in the papers and what the media is saying?
That's right.
Which obviously is a great way to put it, because that leaves the person reading it to make their own decision, which of course is the most important thing. But if it is a government conspiracy or something that's linked with the government, the frustration for you must be that although you almost feel 99.9% certain that you of what's going on with a certain conspiracy, you're never going to know 100% unless you were the president of the USA, are you?
Well, I don't particularly agree with that viewpoint. That's not quite the way that I look at it. Yes, it is frustrating when you can't get official acknowledgement for something that you got fully documented and you have the evidence for, and that happens in many cases. With 9/11, though, there are certain points of evidence which you just have to, you soon come to the conclusion that, you know, you're not being told the truth. And yes, to be officially told the truth about a lot of things, you know, is that ever going to happen?
Mm.
Well, you know, I don't really think it is. So I think once you accept that is the conclusion, then you have to take different measures.
Okay.
In other words, if you can't get official acknowledgement for something, how can you get it accepted? And the answer is to spread the information using your own, your own abilities. And you can do what's called narrow casting, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously that's the opposite of broadcasting. You get the information to people, and, you know, you show it to them, you explain it to them on a one-to-one basis. That's narrow casting, or one-to-two, or three, or whatever.
Yeah.
And you spread the information that way. Because the only reason why you want official acknowledgement is so that the information can be disseminated by the official body of whatever it is. And we've been having great problems with that, not just me. You know, I've got to know quite a few people around the country now who are looking at this and trying to basically give out this information.
Right.
And I've been actively doing this for, probably almost 2 years now, with 9/11 particularly.
Right.
And, people are beginning to react now. They are beginning to react, and they are beginning to realise that the official channels which you would hope for acknowledgement from are not going to take it on. So that's the approach.
What's the response from Americans?
Well, there's a very mixed response from Americans because I think, you know, the Americans are a wonderful people. You know, I've actually spent about 9 weeks in total in America in years past, and I loved it. But they're very patriotic.
Yes.
And so if you were to say that George Bush is a bad man, mm-hmm. if I can put it like that, some of them sort of know that, but because he's the president, he's like the queen for us,
okay.
you know. So it's very difficult for them.
He's God, basically.
Yeah, in a sense, you know, maybe not quite that, because, you know, they're very sort of God-fearing nation
yes.
as well, you know. But, yeah, that type of thing, that he's revered, and therefore to entertain the concept that he could have done something, you know, quite evil, really, is very difficult for a lot of people. But even having said that, only 16% now of the one of the last poll, it was a Zogby poll, 16% of the American people believe the official story of 9/11. Only 16%
really?
In a Zogby poll, like that was last year.
And straight after 9/11, the figures would have been completely different,
yes,
presumably.
Yeah,
they wouldn't have even entertained the thought of anything else.
I mean, I after 9/11, for 3 years, I just believed the official story.
Right. So what was the thing? I mean, like I say, we can't really go into depth because there's so much to look at. And there's some amazing books. I mean, I've read some amazing books as well. And obviously, there's loads of stuff, including your website, but there's loads of stuff on the internet to have a look at. And obviously, you need to take time to really, for us to touch upon it, is just not fair. But what was the key thing then? If 3 years following 9/11, you believed the official channels, what was the key thing for you that you went, no, that doesn't ring true? Hang on.
The key thing is the collapse of the World Trade Center.
Right.
Because, you know, once I'd looked at that, I actually saw a video, I watched a video, it's called 9/11 The Great Illusion, and that was in about 2004, I watched that. This clearly showed the collapse of the towers, and they came down in 8 and 10 seconds respectively, and I thought, oh. And even though I'd seen this, you know, happen on the TV live on the day, I watched it live, I just kind of assumed it was an earthquake of some kind, and it was so shocking, so traumatic, that I didn't think about it. I couldn't think about it, because I was in a state of shock. You know, after 9/11, I was physically cold for 2 days. I felt cold. You know, really, really cold, shivering, even though it was September and it was warm. For 2 days, I distinctly remember that. And it was such a shock. So that prevents you from thinking. But then when I'd seen this video 3 years later, and the towers came down in 8 and 10 seconds, there's no way that can be done by, you know, jet impacts and jet fuel. I mean, you know, you look at some of the basic facts of physics. And this is science. It's not a conspiracy theory. You know.
And obviously, this is your science background.
Well, essentially. You know, you look at the melting point of steel, and it's 1400 degrees centigrade, and you look at the maximum burning point of kerosene fuel, which when it's mixed under optimum conditions, it's about 800 degrees centigrade.
Right.
So, you know, you have documentaries claiming that steel loses half its structural strength when it's heated to 600 degrees. Fair enough. But the building, the towers, were over-engineered. So, you know, even if they had lost half their structural strength, and even if the fires had reached 600 degrees, which they didn't, even according to the official NIST report, they didn't,
right.
It would have, the buildings would have remained standing. So we now then can see that the official story of the collapse of the towers being the plane impacts and the fuel is wrong. It is not supported by the laws of physics. So it's not a conspiracy theory. It's the government, as Professor David Ray Griffin says. The official story of 9/11 is a conspiracy theory because it involves 19 Arabs conspiring to steal planes. That's a conspiracy theory,
right.
And it is not supported by the evidence. That's the conclusion that you come to with actually only not very much study. You know, it goes much deeper than that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's on the surface you can quickly come to that conclusion, even with a basic understanding of sort of, you know, A level science, really, you know, perhaps even GCSE level, actually.
Right. We talked to Andrew Johnson. He's a local chap from Borough Wash. He's written lots of articles, he's done documentaries, all looking into conspiracy theories, and of course his website as well. We'll talk more with Andrew after we get the latest information on the road. So, by the way, if you do want to get in touch with the show, if there's a particular conspiracy theory that you've heard of and you think it's a load of rubbish, or maybe you think, actually, there's probably something in that, you know, then do feel free to give us a call. Maybe you want to put your calls to Andrew as well. Maybe he can kind of substantiate some of that evidence. Then do feel free, give us a call, 01332, that's Derby 616161. You can text me as well, 07786 201045, or of course email me. Just go via the BBC's website for Derbyshire, bbc.co.uk/Derby. I think we may talk about the moon landings next, Andrew, because I'm intrigued by that, and I know a lot of people are.
BBC Radio Derby, live and immediate travel news.
Well, lots of calls and texts coming in. Conspiracy theories. It does get you talking, doesn't it? 01332 Derby 616161 is the number to call. You could text me as well, 07786 201045. We'll go to the phones then. Ian in Derby's on the line. Hello, Ian.
Hello.
How are you this morning?
Oh, fine now that the weather's...
Oh, well, I think we're all the same, aren't we, really? And Andrew's here, of course. Andrew Johnson's with us. And you wanted to kind of have a chat with him about a particular conspiracy theory. Which one was it?
The one about where President Roosevelt knew about the attack on Pearl Harbor, and he didn't do it because he wanted the Congress to approve America going into... the Second World War.
Yeah. Have you read up on this, Ian, or is it just something that you've heard and you're kind of asking Andrew, is it true, or...?
It's something that I've heard, that if it is a true conspiracy...
Yeah.
...what I say is this, it's a load of rubbish because before Pearl Harbor, an American destroyer got sunk by a U-boat, and I was told that on the History Channel. I looked at the History Channel on this about Pearl Harbor and that. And there was this, as I say, there was this destroyer sunk by a U-boat. Now, surely that would have been grounds for America to join the war.
Andrew, what do you want to say on that?
Well, a couple of things, I think. I don't know the story about the U-boat sinking the destroyer. I've not heard that. My understanding is that there was shipping travelling between the US and Europe, and the German U-boat fleet was targeting that, and whether it was part of that sort of, conflict or whatever, I'm not sure. But the Pearl Harbor scenario, as I've read... Roosevelt received multiple warnings, I think up to 6 weeks or 2 weeks, I can't remember the figure, before the event happened. And this is fairly well documented now, and I think he's even admitted. Mm-hmm. And there is a story on the BBC website that you can find where a Japanese sub was discovered in Pearl Harbor an hour before the conflict happened, or the attack happened, rather, not the conflict. And this was recently, rediscovered, this submarine. But so they knew an hour before that the Japanese fleet was there. You know, the Japanese were going to attack. Mm-hmm. And so we've got, I think, to make a distinction between America and Germany being, conflict and the attack on Japan. There was some reason why they wanted to attack Japan, and they did want America to enter the Second World War. And when I say they, I really mean this body, which is given the name of the military-industrial complex.
Okay.
It's not. It wasn't Roosevelt himself personally who necessarily wanted to enter the Second World War, but there were other interests at work, vested interests, that wanted the U.S.
But allegedly, he was obviously in on this as well. Then.
Yes. Yeah. For whatever reason, he was warned that the Japanese were going to attack, and again, I don't know all the details, but there were certain acts of aggression done to provoke the Japanese into attacking as well, but I don't have the details of what those were. That's my understanding of that scenario.
What is the way... Because, I mean, obviously, Ian, you're interested in this, you know. Like you say, you've looked on the Discovery Channel and had a look into it a little bit. What's the way what is the BBC website that you mentioned that maybe Ian would like to look at to read a bit more
well,
on
if
it?
Well, if you just go on to the bbc.co.uk and just put in something like Japanese submarine Pearl Harbor as keywords,
okay.
I think you'd probably get the story up. You know, it's not something, this was something I looked at probably 12 months ago or
right.
longer, so I can't recall all of the details, but there is definitely a story about the Japanese sub being discovered in Pearl Harbor.
You got some reading then, Ian? How about that?
Yeah, I'd have to get my brother to do that because unfortunately I haven't got a computer, so...
Right. Okay, well, yeah, we'll get someone to print it off or something, but clearly it's some, you know, I mean, like all these things, there's evidence and people hear one side of the story and then other people have heard
yeah.
something different, obviously in this case, between the two of you. So it might be quite interesting for you to kind of read up and see what it is that Andrew's talking about as well, hasn't it?
Both me and my brother are interested in that.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Ian, thank you for your call.
Okay.
Thank you. Take care. Cheers. Bye bye. Ian in Derby there. 01332 Derby 616161. If you want to give us a call on any particular conspiracy theory or cover up, of course, as Andrew Johnson calls it, whichever way you want to call it, then there's something you've heard, like Ian. Maybe you've thought actually there's something in that. I want to know more. Give us a call. 01332 Derby 616161. Alan on the text says has Andrew done any work on the mother of all conspiracy theories, the assassination of JFK. I can't believe we've got this far and not actually mentioned that one yet.
Yes, of course. I mean, you know, there's, for example, Oliver Stone's film JFK, which my understanding is the information in that film is of a pretty good standard.
Okay.
One thing that hasn't been put out in the news is that earlier this year in March, if you trawl through my website, you'll find the recording, we've had a tape released. And the tape has been released by a chap called St. John Hunt. I know it's an unusual name, but that's his name.
Okay.
And he's the son of E. Howard Hunt. E. Howard Hunt is one of the CIA spies.
Mm.
And he was said to have been one of the three tramps in Dealey Plaza that were kind of, you know, watching what was happening as Kennedy's car came in. Now, this hasn't... He did confirm that he was one of the tramps.
Right.
But the pictures of one of the tramps and E. Howard Hunt look very, very similar. And even his own son said, you know, that does very much look like my father.
OK.
But on the tape, E. Howard Hunt confirms that he was involved in a plot to assassinate Kennedy. He quite clearly states this. He calls it the big event.
OK.
And this tape, I think, is about five minutes long. And E. Howard Hunt was making this tape at the age of 82 years, sometime before he died. He was quite unwell. I think he had something like emphysema or something like that. And he gave this tape to his son, who had released it earlier this year. And therefore it confirms that there was a plot to assassinate Kennedy. Lyndon Johnson was involved, and other senior members of the administration knew about this. Much as is documented in Oliver Stone's film.
Mm.
So we know that Kennedy was not shot by Lee Harvey Oswald. And there's another chap that I know as well called Colin Bennett, who's actually written a book about Lee Harvey Oswald. And he found that he couldn't actually get a clear picture of who Oswald was.
Okay.
There seemed to be two of them whose lives were intertwined. So, and this is a common...
From all the facts that were being released.
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, this is a common theme, is that when there is an attempt to do something untoward and they want to cover it up, they will create a lot of confusion, and they will deliberately put out false information in various ways, and it's quite subtle how this is done, and it tends to confuse the issue. There is a great deal of evidence, for example, you know, another thing which I've come across, which is actually very important, is that, I don't know if you're aware of the famous Zapruder film of the assassination.
Okay.
Kennedy. You've seen the film, have you? Where you actually see him being shot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's only about a minute long or
yes,
something.
Yes, yeah.
Quite a horrific piece of film.
Mm.
Actually, what most people are not familiar with is that film has been doctored. It's not the original film. It's been changed.
And it's been proven to
have been
doctored.
Yes, it's been proven.
Right.
There is a... If you go onto a site called assassinationscience.com, it's called The Great Zapruder Film Hoax. And what they basically did with that film, and he's got a frame-by-frame analysis, it's a guy called John Costello that's done this. He's done a frame-by-frame analysis of that film, I think it's 236 frames, something like that.
Yeah.
So there's not very many, it's, you know, 236 images to edit. The film was released 1 year after Kennedy's death, it wasn't released the week after.
Right.
And it wasn't shown to the public, I don't think, until the 70s sometime. But this film was doctored. And why did they doctor it? Well, what did the witnesses in Dealey Plaza say about Kennedy's assassination? He said that The car came into Dealey Plaza, and Dealey Plaza was almost empty. There was only about 50 people there for some reason, and this was a big event. Kennedy could be coming to Dallas, but it was virtually empty in relative terms. And the witnesses said the car slowed down, it stopped, Kennedy was shot, it sped up, and went away. What does the Zapruder film show? If you watch the undoctored version, it shows the car in continuous motion. So any of the witnesses that said the car stopped, when, once the Zapruder film came out, those witnesses were discredited because they said, look, here's the film.
Yes.
You witnesses, you don't know what you're talking about. You have no credibility. And that's how it works. Mm. And you could see all this analysis. This is evidence. It's a scientific analysis.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not by a, you know, so you can go and check this.
It's fascinating. Andrew, we could like, I said at the start of this, I could dedicate a whole show and more to this because it's a fascinating subject. But I know, obviously, you have another life to lead. So I wouldn't keep you for any longer. But it's been a pleasure to meet you. And thank you so much for coming in
to talk to us.
And let me just tell you, because I know a lot of people who've kind of just tuned in and are probably, I want to know more on this. There's an awful lot obviously, there's an awful lot on the internet, full stop. But there's an awful lot. You can start on Andrew Johnson's website, which I did mention at the top of the show. But in case you've just joined us again, that website, if you want to find out more on all these the subjects that we discussed and more, of course, then go to www.checktheevidence.co.uk. That's www.checktheevidence.co.uk. Andrew Johnson, thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.